Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
This is USA News. I'm Corey Myers. The death toll from the wildfires on the Hawaiian island of Maui now up to 55. State officials expect that number to keep rising as rescue efforts continue on Maui, where the resort town of Lahaina has been wiped out by brush fire that started Tuesday. Obviously, officials there are asking if you had vacation plans on Maui, please change them.
Contact either their travel agent or their hotel where they're staying and see the impact. Possibly consider thinking about changing to another island to visit.
A hearing in special counsel Jack Smith's election interference case against former President Donald Trump is set for today, likely to determine what rules should be imposed for the handling of evidence. Trump is not required to attend today's hearing in Washington, D.C.'s federal court. President Biden calling on Congress for $24 billion for Ukraine. Some Republicans have been hesitant about putting any more money towards Ukraine's efforts as the war against invading Russian forces continues with no signs of stopping soon. The Republicans say more oversight is needed to see exactly where the $45 billion already sent to Ukraine went. Russia has launched its first lunar mission since 1976. The Luna 25 spacecraft blasted off this morning from the Vostochny Cosmodrome in eastern Russia. It's expected to touch down on the moon on August 21st. If that mission is successful, Russia will become the first nation to land a spacecraft on the lunar South Pole, where it will test the soil for the presence of frozen water. This is USA News.
Attention, your withdrawal has been denied by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
The NFL Network and NFL Red Zone channels will now be available to fans without a paid cable subscription, the league adding the two channels to its NFL Plus streaming service. NFL Network will be available with a base tier subscription that now costs about $7 a month. Meanwhile, NFL Red Zone will be added to a premium tier that will cost about $15 each month.
And the Emmy goes to...
The 2023 Emmys are officially moving to next year. The Television Academy announced yesterday the ceremony will now take place on January 15th, 2024. The ceremony had been scheduled for next month, but was postponed due to the ongoing actors and writers strikes. The company that operates Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore considering a schedule change for the running of the Preakness Stakes. The CEO of Racing and Gaming tells the Thoroughbred Daily News they've discussed moving the second jewel schedule of the Triple Crown to 4 weeks after the Kentucky Derby. That plan is aimed at improving horse safety. The highlight of New York's 50-year hip-hop anniversary celebration happens tonight with a star-studded show at Yankee Stadium. Hip-Hop Live at Yankee Stadium will feature hip-hop legends Run-DMC, Ice Cube, Snoop Dogg, Lil Wayne, and Wiz Khalifa, along with local artists. I'm Corey Myers, USA News.
Has your heater or air conditioner busted? Appliance broken? Computer crashed? Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A-plus BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service, featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Call 800-559-7562 to customize your plan. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 800-559-7562. That's 800-559-7562.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, we've got another story here of a Mr. Smith who has gone to Washington. And his new book, My Journey Back from Chronic Pain and Crippling Anxiety, Lost and Broken, from Congressman Adam Smith, who's been a member of Congress, who represents the 9th District of the state of Washington. He was reelected to his 14th term in 2022, has been the top Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee since 2011. Congressman, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Great to be on, and I appreciate the chance. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate you being so vulnerable, you know, to open this part of your life, because, you know, some people think, well, okay, we can see this happening to the everyman, but, you know, this is a thing about, you know, mental illness. It's equal opportunity, isn't it?
Absolutely. And that's one of the biggest things I want to accomplish here, is to let people know that it's a lot more normal to have mental health problems than most people realize. And if we are more open and honest about that, I hope that that will encourage more people to seek treatment and also to think about ways to prevent it in the first place. And that was my big experience, was as bad as the anxiety was for me, and as long as it took me to finally find help. Help exists.
Right.
There are
exactly
ways to deal with it better. So we got to let people know that, so that they'll seek those treatments.
Well, Congressman, you know, we look about the country. I was born and raised in California, and I live in Florida now. I was back in Los Angeles, at one of the old radio stations that I worked at for many years. And coming into L.A. and looking over the overpass, the homelessness abounds. I mean, over 70,000 just in Los Angeles alone, and mental illness running amok. And you wonder, you know, how did we get here? And, you know, for you, you say, look, there's an answer. There is a remedy. But, you know, I hear quite often that, you know, the government, the bureaucracy, everything is all overwhelmed, and we're just not managing it. So we don't seem to be making a dent. And, you know, I appreciate you coming on and, you know, in a sense, championing the cause here, because, you know, for our fellow men and women who are caught up in this issue of mental illness, especially in this country, in America, of all places, and all the experience we've had, it's like we've regressed. We haven't progressed in handling this. Is that a fair statement?
No, I think it is. Look, I didn't grow up in Seattle, but I grew up south of Seattle in SeaTac, and I spent my entire life in a variety of cities around Seattle. And what you described in L.A. is what we see in Seattle. Out of control drug abuse, homelessness, crime. It's a major, major problem. And there's a number of different pieces of this, and I could go on like a half-hour rant, which I realize I don't have time for here. So I'll just focus on this. In my book, I try to focus on, okay, there's a stigma around mental health, and people have talked about that much more so in the last 3 or 4 years. And that's good, mm-hmm. and that's progress for people to actually focus on, you know, that there are mental health problems, we shouldn't bury them, we should deal with them. But mm-hmm. I'm worried now that our approach to mental health isn't so much about finding solutions as it is about just sort of focusing on the problem. I'm sort mm-hmm. of voyeuristic, oh my gosh, look at how screwed up these people are. And what
right.
I feel passionately about is if you work at it, you can get better. And mm-hmm. too much of the time, and there are certainly ideological reasons for this, the focus is on the hopelessness. The focus is right. on, oh, society is so unfair, so terrible, look at all these problems, I'm so traumatized, I can't possibly do anything. And that really offends me, all right? Mm-hmm. I've been there. I've been in a position of feeling just, you know, completely helpless. There are solutions. You can get better, but the focus has to be not on just shining a light on the problem, but shining mm-hmm. a light on the fact that people can get better. We can set right. expectations for people. People can, you know, overcome those instincts and get better, get treated. And that's the message I really want to deliver.
How did you find the road to healing?
I was persistent. I saw, gosh, I don't know, a dozen different psychiatrists, psychologists, and then I also had a chronic pain problem stemming from a knee injury when I was a kid and bad hips. So I just kept seeing people, you know, physical therapists, psychiatrists, psychologists, chiropractors, until I finally found a psychologist who understood the basics of mental health, who knew that drugs were not the answer, mm-hmm. who took the time to understand, you know, what my history was and why I mm-hmm. was experiencing the anxiety. I did 3.5 years worth of psychotherapy that really answered those questions. And then on the physical side, I found a muscle activation therapist. Physical therapists don't really know how the body works as well as they should. Muscle mm-hmm. activation techniques, particular guy not far from where I live, luckily, who got my muscles activated again and really got me to the point where I'm in probably the best shape of my life mentally and
wow.
physically.
Wow.
So I was persistent in finding help, and I finally found people who understood it.
Yeah, so when this was happening to you, did you at first, you know, come to the realization that this was first a mental issue? Because you were dealing with some physical issues to begin with. I mean, you were dealing with chronic pain, as you said, right? And you're thinking, okay, well, I got to deal with this chronic pain. But little did you know that the chronic pain had really, in a sense, metastasized into your psychology, right?
Well, actually, it worked the other way around.
Oh, it did?
Anxiety,
oh, wow. Okay.
Anxiety mm-hmm. came first and chronic pain came second. And I spent a fair amount of time going down the rabbit hole of, okay, is my anxiety causing the pain? And mm-hmm. it's absolutely the case that clinical anxiety and clinical depression can cause physical pain. But in my case, it was more than that. I actually had physical problems because of my knee and my hips and my back that I had to fix. So I had to deal with both. Yes,
right.
they sort of fed off of each other. I'm sure my anxiety caused pain, and Lord, I absolutely know that my pain caused anxiety. But
it probably amped it up on you, didn't it?
Yeah, but I had to find two separate solutions while also understanding how they interconnect.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, here you are. I mean, to hear your story, I got to imagine, you know, you had a family, you had a support system, because, you know, to do this all by yourself, I mean, you sound to me like you're very self-determined. And there would be other people that would hear this and say, well, that works for Congressman Smith, but, you know, I don't have the strength of character that he has.
Yeah, well, let me say two things about that. First of all, the support system is absolutely crucial. You know, I had friends, family and staff who were able to help me. So having a support system is critical. But I don't really buy into that strength of character argument in the following sense. I think we are all capable of getting better. We are all capable of figuring this out and figuring out how to make our mind work better. Now, I say that fully understanding that there are many people who have vastly more severe problems than I do.
Mm-hmm.
And those severe
right.
problems in terms of what, you know, what trauma you've dealt with or mental illness you've dealt with, physical pain will be harder. But the basics of teaching your mind how to better deal with stress and strain and how to better confront the traumas you face in life, we're all capable of that. that. And to believe otherwise is just contrary to my belief system. I think we can get better, and we need to have that confidence.
In a sense, it's kind of a miracle the way our bodies are designed, right? So that if we're true to our bodies, they will respond accordingly, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing I learned all this. When I was in the middle of this, great fear was, there's no way back from this. I'm 50 years old. I'm on drugs. Mm-hmm. I'm in pain. The ability of the body and the mind to heal and get better is remarkable. And don't ever doubt that.
Got to go to break. We've got more from Congressman Adam Smith.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com, or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right. For about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. That's 800-699-0358.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your healthcare costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Independent, just way like to hear from us. I'm Bill Martinez. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Congressman Adam Smith. Imagine this: he wakes up in the morning of April 2016, seriously consider the possibility he might never be able to get out of bed. hobbled by crippling anxiety, chronic pain, muscle atrophy, and a confusing cocktail of medications. He wasn't sure what terrified him more, getting up or staying in bed. It's a struggle millions of Americans know all too well. He is here to talk about his personal and gripping story from his new book, Lost and Broken. Congressman, you know, it's interesting because our show is independent, and we do get into some political grounds, and I will say that up front. And sometimes I have my Democratic friends say, Bill, how come you don't have Democrats on your show? I say, because I don't know. They just, whatever, they don't like to come on. But, you know, I tell you, you bless me. Because here you are, you're a seasoned veteran. You've been in Congress as a Democrat. You're serving your 14th term, and you're here speaking to us about an issue that is about people. It has nothing to do with partisanship. So, case in point, we can demonstrate to everybody that we can have a meaningful conversation that benefits all Americans, regardless of their party affiliation. And thank you.
It's something I passionately believe in, and something that really worries me about modern politics. I hear people on the right and on the left all the time saying, well, I'm not going to go on that show. I'm not going to talk with this person. Look, democracy only functions if we have an open and honest dialogue across as many belief systems as possible. And I've always believed in that. I mean, I go on Fox News all the time. Heck, I've been on Tucker Carlson's show. I've been on Sean Hannity's show. You know, and that's happening less and less. I just think it's really important that, you know, if you really need to hear from people you disagree with more than you need to hear from people you agree with.
Exactly. Well, you tap into the cumulative intelligence of 340 million. I got to imagine that brain trust is much more significant than your siloed partners, you know, that all have the same ideas. Like we used to say in business schools that when you had more than one person in the room agreeing on something, one of you was redundant and unnecessary, right?
Yeah, no, look, I mean, one of my sayings here of late is I believe in democracy more than I believe in my own opinion. Get the benefit of collective wisdom. And I think of myself as a reasonably intelligent guy, but I also know how much I don't know and how frequently I am wrong. So it's good to have diverse opinions.
Well, and that's what happens in the journey of ascertaining knowledge is the more you know you don't know. it's a double-edged sword. Yeah, in your story here, as you presented in Lost and Broken, it's not so much that you're dogmatic in saying here is the prescription 1, 2, 3 healing. I mean, this is a journey that you went through and experienced, and you're sharing quite vulnerably with everyone so that they can find their own road of healing and to appreciate that it is a process, that you're going to have highs and lows, and you're very vulnerable to talk about those moments of hope and despair.
I think that's a great way to describe it. Is I hopefully offer some markers along the path, but your path is always going to be unique. And you have to have that flexibility, as you've just described. Now, there are some baselines, like I said, on the physical health side. It took me forever to find someone who understood that in addition to muscles being, you know, getting stronger and more flexible, they also need to be activated. I mean, it's a very complicated thing, but I explained it in my book, so I finally
isn't that amazing? I got to tell you, you and I think alike. I grew up as an athlete. We came from an athletic family of 9 kids, and we knew how to play, and you know, whether it was baseball or basketball or any other activity. But you know, we didn't understand the musculature and the nuance of certain things. Now, I've been blessed to be around some brilliant chiropractors along the way, because I'm one of these. One of these types that when something is aching, I want to know the root. You know, get me to the root. Because even when I went through prostate cancer, I spent probably 8 years trying to find the root. Sadly, I couldn't. I never was able to discern the root. I ended up having to, have my prostate taken out. And so, but it didn't stop me from trying. But that's always been my approach. So you and I are similar in that regard.
Well, interesting you mentioned also, you know, when I had my knee surgery in 1982, in science, okay, and then what do I do about it? I didn't know, and that was sort of the root of my problem was I didn't rehab from that surgery. But we've learned so much since then. It's number one on the mental health side. Understand some very basic things. Number one, you have to have a sense of your own self-worth. That's what I didn't have. I thought my self-worth was attached to my deeds. Was I good at something or bad at something as opposed to inherent self-worth?
Right.
Number two, be honest with yourself. You have to be honest about what you're angry about, what you feel guilty about. Don't lie to yourself and suppress things. That is what will cause greater anxiety and greater depression. And then the third thing is what I alluded to earlier, you really can teach your mind to better deal with stress. You do not have to chase after every emotion that's out there. It's similar to your body. If you work out, your body will get stronger. If you teach your mind to better deal with the stresses and strains of life, you will better be able to process them. I think those are some of the basics, but then it's going to be very specific to what is your experience? What has been your physical and your mental experience, and how do you deal with that to customize it to your own individual situation?
You know, Congressman, you talk about our mind. Our mind is so elastic. I mean, we can train it, and it can be renewed.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been extensive studies, people who have been dealing with alcoholism, other drug addiction and that sort of thing. So what you're talking about is empirical. This is clear evidence, and we need to be aware of this. This needs to be part of your suitcase and your weapons of power knowledge tools that can help you, because whatever debilitation that you're dealing with, because the fact of the matter is these kind of diseases and debilitations, equal opportunities, hitting every walk of life. Nobody is, nobody's protected from it. So, you've got to be trained up. Go ahead.
Yeah, one big point I want to make in that is when I talk about how you can train your mind, understand that the feelings are real, that when you react and your brain seems to be telling you that you should be terrified of a situation, that's very real. That's an initial reaction. But you can train your brain to go, okay, let's take a step back for a second. What are we really dealing with, okay? And once you train your mind how to do that, instead of just thinking, I was telling the story, I have a 20-year-old son who, great kid, been working on him for a while, but whenever he's angry about something and I'm trying to talk him through it, he'll say, I can't change the way I feel. And I'll say to him, yes, you can, okay? It's not easy, but that initial feeling you have, you can train your brain to better deal with those. And I really encourage everybody, frankly, whether you have a mental health problem diagnosed or you're simply trying to deal with life, that's a key part of doing it.
Your son sounds like my son. And, the question I ask is that what you want? You know, it is a choice, right? So step one is you have to decide what you want. Yes, I get it that feeling can be very debilitating. And the thing is, what happens with that feeling is it associates with other feelings that are of the same ilk, right? So you can get pigpiled by your own thoughts. So, to your point, in terms of training your mind, you've got to understand how the mind works. And my son, he loves to ride, ride motorcycles. And one of the first things he learned is the bike goes where your eyes are, right? So whatever your eyes are looking at, that's where your body will go. Okay, same thing. If that's what you're focusing on and you're focusing on the negative and this, and I can tell him all day long it's a lie, but for him, it's the truth. I mean, and he's right, but the idea is we're trying to get them out of it. But go ahead. We got about a minute left. I'm going to let you wrap it up, Congressman.
Right. The way I summed it up a long time ago was, I was young, very frustrated. My life wasn't going the way I wanted it to go and everything. And I was constantly feeling angry and disappointed. And it finally occurred to me, nothing bothers you unless you let it bother you, which is an oversimplification, I will grant you. Obviously, there are bigger things in life that are hard to get around, but it really is. And the word you used here that is so important is choice. It really is more of a choice than you realize. You feel like you're being pulled inevitably in a certain direction, but you do have an ability to make a different choice. I'm not saying it's easy. It's something you got to work at. You got to train your brain, but you have greater autonomy than you realize.
Got to leave it there. Congressman Adam Smith, thank you so much.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Do you use pesticides in your job? Specifically Roundup. Roundup, made by Monsanto, contains a chemical called glyphosate, which has been linked to cancer. If you've used Roundup and you have cancer, you may be entitled to a cash award. Over $10 billion has been set aside to pay users of Roundup who've been diagnosed with cancer. Time is almost running out to file your claim. So if you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've used Roundup, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And time to file is almost gone, so please call right now.
800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. 800-890-7088. That's 800-890-7088.
USA News Update. The death toll from wildfires on the Hawaiian island of Maui is now up to 55. The resort town of Lahaina has been wiped out by that brush fire that started on Tuesday. A hearing in special counsel Jack Smith's election interference case against former President Donald Trump is set for today, likely to determine what rules should be imposed for the handling of evidence. President Biden calling on Congress for $24 billion for Ukraine. Republicans are hesitant about putting more money until they see where the other $45 billion already went. Russia has launched its first lunar mission since 1976. If the mission is successful, Russia will become the first nation to land a spacecraft on the lunar South Pole, where it will test the soil for the presence of frozen water. Corey Myers, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Hey, welcome back. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez. He is Todd Gordon. Yes, the same Todd Gordon who went from local Philadelphia businessman to the third most influential man in wrestling as the founder of Extreme Championship Wrestling. ECW was the revolutionary industry redefining wrestling federation of the 90s and became the fiery challenger to WWE, WCW. And for the first time, he is here sharing his full personal story in his new book, Todd is God, the authorized story of how I created Extreme Championship Wrestling with the help of Amazon best-selling writer Sean Oliver. Todd, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us, sir.
Bill, it's a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, what a story. I mean, you're mid-30s, you have a midlife crisis, and you go from, you know, being a businessman and say, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go get into wrestling. I mean, your family must have thought, what? What are you thinking, right?
They thought I was crazy considering we're a family business that's over 150 years old.
Right. So things, go ahead.
I'm sorry. It started out as a hobby. It was just going to be a small little hobby. Once a month, we were running shows at a sports bar from 80 to 100 people. And all of a sudden, we caught fire. We did a pilot for TV. And then 2 years, we were on national television, pay-per-view all over the world. It was the most incredible journey I've ever heard of in my life.
Mm-hmm. So this idea of Extreme Championship Wrestling starts in the bar. You go, okay, we're going to be a local thing. Because I remember during that time when they started, you know, they had boxing matches in bars and they had, you know, these different pugilistic events, and then it evolved to wrestling. But for you, I mean, it started out, like you said, just kind of as a, you know, a little bit of a lark, and you're realizing the response of the audience and you say, whoa, man, I may have caught lightning in a bottle here.
That's exactly what we did do. We called lightning in a bottle. It was the right time, the right place. As I said, it was just a freak thing that someone started a sports channel in Philadelphia, and they said, we need programming. We have the Sixers, the Flyers, Phillies. We have no other programming. So we talked to someone who I knew. They said, if you can get me a pilot, we're going to see what we can do. So we made a pilot episode. He went crazy for it. He said, it wouldn't have mattered if it was good or bad at this point. He needed programming. He stuck us on the air. And we started to roll with it, and people became, you know, started to hear about it through tape trading and things like that. But there was no internet then. Had there been internet,
right,
it would have grown so quickly, it would have been insane.
Exactly.
All you were getting on TV was cartoons. It was garbage. I grew up loving the hard-hitting Bruno Sammartino and Killer Kowalski. Although I believed it growing up as a little kid.
All right, sudden, right, exactly.
Garbage. It's, you know, they were throwing out people and pig farmers and dumpster guys. And everybody was a character. It was junk.
Yes.
What we did is we decided to make it real again. And I got a group together, including some of the great names who were not under contract, like Terry Funk. He was one of our mainstays from the beginning. And people just started to really get with it. And then we were putting on an extreme style of wrestling. You know, the barbed wires, the tables. Things are now commonplace. We kind of innovated at that time.
Right.
I would say to you that all of a sudden, you know, they all started being aware of us, and the WWF, all of a sudden, they brought in their Attitude Era, which was really just a watered-down version of what we were doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, explain to our audience, walking through, Todd, you know, here it is. You come in, first of all, you're a local attraction. Now you get an opportunity to, you know, broaden your reach and influence, and you're taking the things that you've learned in these bars that was working, and you saw that, you know, people wanted to, you know, they wanted to be entertained by real wrestling, and in order to differentiate, you know, from the traditional wrestling offerings that were out there, as you say, that were, you know, more cartoonish, you title it Extreme Championship Wrestling. Help our audience understand the clear difference between ECW and WWE or WCW.
Well, one of the easiest ways that I can put it so people would understand is we became the Howard Stern of wrestling. We were R-rated wrestling, basically. You know, too hot for TV, and yet we were on TV. We were doing things that had never been done before. And our wrestlers went all the way through the audience, all the way through the crowd, around the whole building, inside, outside, back into the building, into the ring. There was no such thing as a back row, last row seat. Every seat was a front row seat.
Wow.
And these guys were out there. I mean, our locker was like a mass unit after every show. They're killing each other out there. And the audience got it.
They're out there amongst the audience, in the rows, among the seats and the chairs, and they're, I mean, forget about the ring. You know, they're outside of the ring. Right? Is that what you're telling me?
They started in the ring. They finished at the ring. But during the first matches, these guys are taken anywhere and everywhere. And then the fans became part of the show. It was a symbiotic relationship we had with the people in the audience. They would bring weapons to the shows, bring your own weapons, and they would hand the wrestlers weapons to use.
Bring your own weapons? Oh, my God, you're kidding.
They would come in with cheese graters. They brought a kitchen sink. I mean, one guy gave someone a prosthetic leg from his own body to use in the match. I mean, it was really an audience participation thing. And they had a chant. Yeah, I know. They had a chant for every wrestler that came out. They developed their own, you know, chants. It was like the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
That's a better term. And when each guy came out, they knew their thing. When I would come out, they would yell, Todd is God. Eric is the pedal of the book. That's
right,
pedal.
Right.
Not a religious fight at all. Fans would yell.
If people only knew you, they would know that it's... I understand the spirit of the title, and you know, and how you're handling this. This is great. So as this thing is taking off, Todd, I mean, you got to just be pinching yourself. Your family's got to go, oh my gosh. I mean, you know, and as you said, I think rightfully so. I think that's great positioning, the Howard Stern of wrestling, because that was the big deal with Howard Stern, because you just never knew what he was going to come up with next, but you had to show up because there was going to be something coming up next.
Right, and he was too wild and too you know, crazy and too extreme for terrestrial radio. And
yeah.
We were that same kind of product. We were literally an R-rated wrestling product with the women, the things we did with the women out there, very scantily clad, you know, involved in all the matches. We did things. We brought up tables which had never been done before in matches on TV. We started a three-way dance where three wrestlers went independent of each other, all in the ring at the same time, fighting each other. And here it is 25, 30 years later. You see it all the time. Three guys, five guys, eight guys against each other. Back then, we were the first people to do that. We did a three-way match. We called it a three-way dance. And that was the first big, big night that we said, holy smokes, reaction was out of control. We went back to the hotel where the wrestler stayed, got out of the car. And there were like 400 people in the parking lot screaming.
Unbelievable.
ECW. And we went, holy cow, what is this? I mean, we really had caught on, you know, hit on something. Mm-hmm. We just kept going with it. I mean, used a lot of the modern day music, the grunge music of the time, and the TV show was exceptional. I mean, small budget, and yet people loved it.
Mm-hmm. And the wrestlers responded to it, right? Because yes, this was this was combative and all that, but this is entertainment, right?
Absolutely. We combined a bunch of kids on their way up. With a bunch of wily veterans. We had Jimmy Snuka, a Stone Cold Steve Austin before he went to the WWE. Mick Foley, Cactus Jack before he went to the WWE. These were our mainstays. Terry Funk, as I said. A lot of hardcore wrestlers and young guys on the way up. Like, missing the two, they would elevate these new kids and make them stars themselves.
Because they knew that's what would make it greater, as opposed to they were just going to go and put their heel on everybody's throat. And, rising tides rise all boats, right? And so that's amazing that they had that kind of capacity to, you know, to understand and appreciate that, Todd. Did that come from your leadership?
I'd like to think so. And plus, they were also aware of the fact that, you know, they wanted a job. So if this company succeeds, they're not getting jobs anywhere else at this point. Hawk Road Warriors came through and said, this locker room is like a locker room full of misfits. People that couldn't stay in big federations anymore. And I love it. You know, they all love it. They love being there. We were a little engine that could. And in the book, I tell stories from everything from road stories. And I mean insane road stories.
In this next section, Todd, we'd want to hear that. Because I know the audience wants to hear these stories. Because, you know, athletic stories are always fun anyway. But here you are in this situation with a group of misfits. Almost like you're in a sense like the P.T. Barnum of wrestling, in a sense, right?
With this crowd.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we've got to go to break. We've got more from Todd Gordon, his book, Todd is God. Stay with us.
It was your best vacation ever. You on a beach having a great time. Then some stranger walked up and said, hey, how'd you like to come here for the rest of your life? And then he went on and on about how much money you could save. You listened, saw his presentation, ended up signing a contract. And now, 5 years later, you have a timeshare you never use. But you're still paying for it. That's the contract. But what if we could show you a legal way to end the contract and get out of your timeshare nightmare? It's called Timeshare Exit Defense. Our lawyers will work with the gigantic timeshare company lawyers and get you out of your agreement. No more maintenance fees, no more payments. Call now. Get your free ebook to learn how to exit your timeshare.
800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. That's 800-296-1332.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance. And in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs. So whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. That's 800-705-6581.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vine-to-bar.com. That's vinetobar.com. Cold shipped to your door is Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
Hey, we're back with you. We're talking with the author of Todd is God. Todd Gordon is with us. You know, Todd, talking about some of these wrestling memories, you were sharing about as a kid growing up and how you saw wrestling. And in Los Angeles, one of our favorite sports announcers was Dick Lane. I don't know if you had any contact or memory of Dick Lane, but he was the announcer for, wrestling on KTLA there, Channel 5. And he did not only wrestling, but roller derby as well. And they were always picking on poor Dick Lane. Dick Lane was this wily little, 5'10", maybe 140, 50 pounds soaking wet. And you get these big beasts coming along with him. Oh, they would take his glasses off. They'd break his glasses. They'd, just for fun and entertainment and throw him around like a rag doll. This poor guy, the stuff that he went through, amazing. And probably for little pay at the time, because of the way the market was then, So it was quite interesting. Yeah. So quite a character.
Fred Blassie was a big California.
Oh yeah,
guy
exactly.
John
exactly.
Colos, the Roarder, the Bay Area Bombers. Oh, I remember all that stuff.
I did when I was working at a radio station in Los Angeles, we had a special celebrity event, and this jockey's even our level. We could be, celebrities, And so they invited us to this event at the Forum. And we were going to go and have a roller derby event. And so I said, whoa, man, I'm not going to, be an athlete. I better know what I'm doing. So I hook up with Ralphie Valadares and his partner, John. And I went through their training camp. And so it was quite the experience, you know, going through that. And every time I think about that, I mean, you know, here it was, you know, they were 10-foot high banks, and it wasn't easy. I mean, you had to learn how to skate through those, you know, through those banks. Otherwise, the way they were tilted, they would throw you right into the, you know, the center of the arena. But it was quite the experience. John Hall and Ralphie Valadares, amazing. But anyway, good fun.
John Hall and Ralphie, I remember them both. Wrestling is like no other kind of business. It's not like opening up a retail store and you put something on a shelf. It's something that, you know, you're working with a bunch of people who are called workers. They're called workers because they're always trying to work the audience to, you know, make them see what they want them to see. And they do the same thing to the promoters, such as myself. But the business where I learned every day on the fly, and it was, you know, every day an evolving situation. I remember one of my earliest shows, someone told me that Ivan Koloff, who was a superstar from the, you know, earlier days in the 70s and 80s, who had beaten Bruno Sammartino for the time. He was a big-name guy. They said he was available and it wasn't that expensive. He used to drive in from Washington or Maryland to Philadelphia. I called him up. I said, yes, can I talk to Ivan Koloff, please? The guy said, yeah, this is Ivan. I said, no, I mean the wrestling Ivan Koloff, the Russian, you know, Ivan Koloff, that guy. That's me. I'm Ivan Koloff. I said, what? And then I realized this guy's not Russian. He doesn't have an accent. Holy cow. That was like a humble beginning.
It's all showbiz. It's still showbiz. That's it, right? Exactly.
It really is. And it really, from there, that little humble beginning, again, it was like a snowball rolling down a hill. We couldn't stop. The people who had wanted it so much. So we branched out MSG Network, Sunshine Network in Florida. It was like we just kept growing and growing. It was an incredible experience. It's all very well detailed.
Well, you've got some stories in the book, and we got 7 minutes. I'm going to let you share some stories because we love sports stories and the characters that are part of it. And here you are in the midst of a cast of characters that are unlike any other sport. I'll match them up against the NBA or NFL and that because, you know, when it comes to wrestling and what the shows that you're putting on, I mean, this is nonstop. I mean, it's not like you could, you know, cruise for three quarters and maybe in the fourth quarter, in the last 4 minutes, decide, okay, now we're going to play ball. I mean, every second, like you said, it's a dance. It's a presentation to engage the audience and to get them involved and excited, right?
Well, 40, 50 years ago, all you had was a bunch of heavy-set fat guys who would roll around and kind of like put an arm bar or an arm lock on someone and hold that hole for 10 minutes. Today, these guys are incredibly gifted athletes. You have no idea the athleticism involved. It's not just backing someone with a chair or putting them through a table. These guys were incredibly athletic and talented as they could be. So what my philosophy was, I would have put on shows that I would have wanted to see. Philadelphia was a blue-collar town, hardcore town. Mm-hmm. They hated the good guys. They loved the bad guys. So with that philosophy in mind, I started putting on shows that I would want to see. My very first main event was Stan Hansen, Terry Funk, Abdul the Butcher, and Kevin Sullivan. Four hardcore wrestlers. I wanted to see that match. And everybody in my audience, they wanted to see that match. And that's what I really strove for. So what we did was we tried to mix it up. We'd have comedy, we'd have technical wrestling, and then we'd have the hardcore brawling. It wasn't just hardcore stuff. We had a mix of everything. So there was something for everybody in the show.
So you kind of built it up to a crescendo then, basically, is what you did, right?
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah,
The idea was to keep building the show, getting better and better. And we did things that nobody else had done, like I said. And as a promoter, things that, you know, were very unlikely to have an arrested show. I'll give you an example. We had a main event planned. We talked about it on TV for 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. And one of the guys didn't make it. His plane got messed up and he just didn't show up. And here's the philosophy I had. I would have been upset about that. So I went out there and I said, listen, he's not here. So here's what I'm going to offer you. Watch the whole first half of the show for free. If you don't like it, don't want to stay, get your money back.
Right.
No problem. If you like it and you think it's going to get better, stay and watch the show. However, the main event, we're now going to give you a no ropes barbed wire match. Where the ropes normally would be in the ring, it's all just barbed wire. To say nobody left. We always try to give a little bit more than what they wanted or what they asked for. That was just try to except I hated stipulations for matches that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Rich. They would say, oh, the loser of this match is going to be unmasked. Then he'd take his mask off and give another one on, and he'd say,
yeah. Or, yeah, exactly.
Right. Or the match is going to end with the, when the this girl gets, someone loses their clothes, but no one lost their clothes.
Right.
And I resent the fact that they were trying to get money out of people with this bait switch. Bait,
exactly. Bait. No, I agree. You got to deliver on your promise. There's no doubt about it. Now, when you had barbed wire, I mean, what was the result? I mean, here you got these athletes and barbed wire. I mean, I'm thinking, man, they're going into a Vegematic here, you know, sliced up. Go ahead.
Exactly what happened. It was Terry Funk and Sabu, and they ended up being so entangled. We didn't, you know, take the edges off the barbed wire. It was real barbed wire.
And yeah.
They ended up getting entangled with each other where we could cut them out of it. In the ring.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Ouch.
Their hair, through their clothes. I mean, it was horrible. It was horrifying. But it was a fight that no one will ever forget. As I said, we were all about the stipulation. Like, we had a tag team in there that had been together 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
We had a match. We said, losing tag team splits up forever. That team that lost never wrestled as a team again after 15 yeah. years together. We just honored the stipulations and never insulted the fans in television.
Mm-hmm. When you were dealing with some of these things that were so outrageous, like the barbed wire event, what kind of pressure from the FCC? Because I know during that period of time, the FCC was putting pressure. You know, you and I talked about wrestling and roller derby in Los Angeles. They were putting pressure on them. They must have been all over you. No?
Well, actually, we weren't showing those matches on TV, maybe a clip or two.
Oh, okay. All right.
We saved those for, at that time, VHS tapes.
Okay.
Yeah. Selling. And we started getting orders from Japan. I said, Japan? What's going on? I found out that these wrestling fans traded tapes. They sent their tapes to Japan. Japanese fans sent their tapes to the States. And we got a giant Japanese following. They came in for tours. They're coming just to watch our shows. The magazines in Japan covered us. It was a crazy growth spurt that we didn't even see coming.
You know, we were talking about the athleticism of, you know, of wrestlers and how serious they could be. Andy Kaufman, as you recall, learned the hard way when he thought he could be funny, and he paid the price, didn't he?
He did, but you know what that all came from? His love of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
He loved it with a passion. And the funny thing is, most real wrestling fans are indeed passionate about the show. I mean, they really care. They want to know more about each wrestler inside, outside the ring, what's going on. I mean, there's a passion there that we, you know, tapped into. And in the book, I'll tell stories that I can't tell on the air about behind the scenes, what's going on in the hotel rooms, what's going on the traveling aspects. Some really hardcore stuff. It wasn't just hardcore wrestling. There's hardcore everything going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Well, and I remember, you know, just to finish out the story with, you know, with Kaufman, you know, it created, you know, a lot of attention, you know, for the sport, didn't it?
Mainstream media, you can't get that anywhere.
But yeah, exactly.
Does it matter that when they're putting it on TV on the nightly news, mm-hmm. you know, and on SNL, people going, wait a minute, what is this? You know, it brought a whole new set of eyes.
It really made it mainstream, right? Exactly. Uh-huh. Well, Tom.
The industry. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Go ahead. Go ahead. Finish it up.
I was just saying what it did for the industry was huge. He really put a lot more eyes on it.
Yeah, without a doubt. Todd Gordon has been our guest. His book, Todd is God, the authorized story of how I created Extreme Championship Wrestling. Todd, 30 seconds. I'm going to let you summarize and tell everybody where they can get their hands on your book.
The book's available at Amazon and any bookstore you go to, Simon & Schuster, Barnes & Noble, all these book carriers, wherever you buy your favorite book, they're carrying that book right now. And it's doing really great, and I'm thrilled to tell you that, and I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to come on the air.
Well, are you kidding me? Anytime. You're always welcome. The light is on for you, Todd. I'm telling you here, okay? Just don't hurt me. I'm recovering from hip replacement. All right. Okay, Todd, God bless you. Take care. Todd Gordon. You got it.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing. But you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final.